Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. And we've got a great prescription up for you today. It's adopting healthy habits as a family. This is the building block to success. There is no success found in a miracle life hack, a parenting hack, a marriage hack, whatever it is. We all want that instant gratification. We all want to do one little tweak and then every problem in our life seems better. But God has a different plan for us. He has designed us to pursue spiritual disciplines. It is in the hard work of every day, of growing to be more like Christ, of working out our faith with fear and trembling. That is where the success in relationships lie, in that hard work. Now, you know, this year we are doing again 52 Habits for Healthy Families. Every week we're introducing a new habit. We've done prayer week one because we can do nothing in our own strength. We've talked about the power of memorizing scripture and speaking words of life over our own lives, over the lives of our family. And this week, our habit is talking about going to church. Now, every Friday, I'll be spending Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, the first segment of every program on Friday, answering questions about that habit. So this Friday, I will answer questions about, what about worship? What about contemporary worship? What about hymns? What about paper Bibles? What about going to church when you're on vacation? How do we find a church that our kids are safe in? What should we look for in the children's and youth ministry that give us confidence that it's an emotionally, physically, spiritually healthy environment? I'll answer all those questions on Friday. If you've missed out on any of these habits, you can just go to the website, go to afr.net, or any podcast platform, and you can listen to the Dr. Nurse Mama coaching minutes, just 1 minute per habit. And these are the keys to success. They're right there in God's word. And so today we're going to be talking about how to make those habits easy. Now, before I do that, I want to remind you that this week, American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn to sponsor ultrasounds to help rescue babies from abortion. And we're asking for a gift of $28 if you're able to do that, to provide one free ultrasound for a woman. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online, afr.net. We will be having a nurse from Preborn tomorrow. We'll have a nurse-to-nurse conversation. So look forward to that. But we would love to have you call in and help us meet our goal of 4,500 ultrasounds. Now let's get back to today's show. I'm so excited to introduce to you, we have two guests today. We've got Chris Pappalardo, PhD, Dr. Pappalardo. He is the author and co-founder of Good Kind, the makers of Advent blocks. You may have seen those at Christmas time. This is an organization that helps people cultivate the good kind of habits and holiday celebration. He's a pastor, an editor, a writer at the Summit Church in the Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina area. He's married to Jen. He's the proud dad of Lottie, who wants to save the planet, is what I'm told, and Teddy, who wants you to read him another book. And he's joined by his really good friend, Clayton Green, CEO and co-founder of Good Kind. Together with friends, Clayton and his wife, Kristen, created Advent Blocks, a devotional practice to help them anticipate Jesus during the month of December. You know, that is the most wonderful time of year, at least I think so. He is also the Summit Collaborative Director, where he supports 70 independent church plants, and they live in Durham with their two daughters, Kara and Susan. And they've written a book called Building Spiritual Habits in the Home, Small Steps You Can Take Today. So as we're talking about this habits journey, and I'm encouraging you to integrate these habits into what you're already doing, not something else to do, but something to integrate into what you're already doing. Already, you should be brushing your teeth every day. If you're not, why don't you just pray every time you brush your teeth? It's so easy to habit stack. And we're going to be talking about some of the secrets that they have found and the six key shifts that translate good intentions into actual practice. So Chris and Clayton, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I'm really excited just to dive in.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, let's just start by talking about your families and your ministries and how you became friends. And Chris, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I've been working, like you said, at the Summit now. It's been about 12, almost 13 years now. And most of my work is helping the folks here with their preaching ministry. So everything that we do as a church, getting that out there and making sure it sounds like the best version of itself. Clayton and I crossed paths just a few years ago when he came back to the area, and he started sharing with me some book ideas he had and some other projects he was working on. But we hadn't seen each other for a while, but it was a good, like, you know, you have those moments where you reconnect with somebody and you're like, this is going to be a thing. And that's how it was when Clayton and I reconnected. We're like, I don't know what this is going to be, but it's going to be something awesome. All the work we've done since then has been like gravy on that, but the relationship and the friendship has been one that has been just so rich over the past few years.
That is so good to hear. I love those kindred spirits kind of moments where God just brings your hearts together and you think, wow. And, you know, I can think of moments like that in my own life and realize that, oh, I can think it's going to go in one direction, but God has such bigger plans for us than we can have for each other. So Clayton, what was your experience in all of that? Your perception, your side of the story?
Yeah. So we were both in school around the same time, going to the Summit Church at the same time, way, way back in the day now. But I did spend 4 years in Wilmington, North Carolina, over near the coast, where I was the executive pastor of a new church plant, and absolutely loved that. Returned to the Triangle area of North Carolina so I could be closer to Duke and UNC for the health care of one of my daughters, who is, by the way, doing great in sixth grade right now. That's Kara and Susan. My wife, Kristen, is an attorney. But yeah, I count the time that I get to spend with Chris, whether it's writing this book, working on the next tangible product that we might sell on goodkind.shop, or, you know, actually just working out spiritual practices together. It's great to do that together and then be able to share it with others, like talking to you today, Jessica.
Well, Clayton, how did this book come about? Who did you write it for? Where was this dream born, that given to you by God, and how has it come into the world?
Well, I mean, it all started back, I think it's 5 or 6 years ago now, where my daughter, Kara, the older daughter, she said to us, she was 5 years old, she said, "Mommy and Daddy, you say that Christmas is all about Jesus, but it feels like it's all about presents, right?"
Ooh,
and It gave me this moment that Chris and I now call an awareness of a misalignment. So there was something we were saying to our daughter, Christmas is all about Jesus. And there was something that she was living in her experience, and that was Christmas is a lot about presents. And so we needed to make some adjustments. And that's actually what helped us create Advent blocks. The next year, I'd kind of made some blocks and made how they would move around and a star would move closer to the globe. And I told Chris, "Hey, can you write a guide for these blocks?" And he said, "What blocks?" But yeah, I'd love to write a guide. And so essentially, from Advent blocks became Easter blocks, and then Easter blocks became the Graticube. And what we started to do was, what was so successful for Advent blocks, we kind of reverse engineered that and said, why was this so successful for families that were saying, "Hey, I've never finished an Advent guide before. I've never had so much excitement around Jesus at Christmas in my home before." And so we took those things that we learned from that process, and we still use them, and we have been using them for the last 5 years. So in some ways, this book is our manual for how to make a habit, a spiritual habit, stick.
Well, we need all of those tools that we can get, because it's so hard and so convicting, because kids do what we do, not what we say. And they are the greatest accountability partners. If you allow them to speak truth into your life, they will do it. And that can be really hard. Well, Chris, there's a lot of books about habits out there. I mean, we're talking about it here on the show. What makes this one different?
Yeah. So in our experience, and we could be wrong about that. Maybe there's some silver bullet out there. But what Clayton and I found a lot of the time is there are fantastic books that talk about the social science of habits, atomic habits and the power of habit. And they really lay out, like, okay, this is how it works. This is what's going on in your brain. They're incredibly practical and people love them. But they're not written by Christians. And then on the other side, you have a ton of books, which I love, which are really enriching, about the spiritual disciplines and how valuable those are. But I leave those sorts of books feeling like, okay, I do want to pray more and practice the Sabbath and all of these things, but it still feels really, really hard. And so what we were trying to do with this book is say, hey, wouldn't it be great if there was a book that was as accessible and easy as Atomic Habits, but had all of the beauty and wisdom of Scripture together? And so that's where this book lives, at that intersection between super practical, super easy, really fun habit books, but also the biblical depth and richness of Scripture.
I love that. And that's really kind of the space where I'm in. Even when I was writing my book for parents, same thing. I could find a lot of faith-based books for parenting, a lot of professional-based books for parenting. But where is that gap? Like, I want both. I want to know the best of both worlds. And so I think that's one of the things that drew me to your book. It's, yes, we want to talk about those theoretical things. Yes, that's where we want to be. But how do we get there? And I think it's important to meet people where they are and the realities of everyday life. And it's so hard because, at the same time, we'll say we don't have time to read our Bible every day. Like, life is just too busy. Also, if you look at my iPhone accountability, you will see that I spent 2 hours watching recipe reels. You know, I mean, there is that. I think technology is the thief of time, but these spiritual habits are the building blocks. You talked about Advent blocks. That's the building blocks for healthy family culture. So, Clayton, how did you guys define spiritual habits in this book?
Well, so there's a lot of different words that you can use. And even as we've talked already, we've kind of gone back and forth, right? So Chris mm-hmm. has said spiritual disciplines. You said spiritual habit, which is the name on the front of the book. There's also spiritual practice, spiritual rhythm. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can call it. And we actually talk about the different things that you can call it in the book, and the different things that we like about each one, right? So, like, spiritual discipline is very good because it's something that you really want to focus on and engage with, but we also don't want it to feel too much like, an assignment or a scoreboard, right? So maybe that's some pros and cons of that. Spiritual practice is really good because it is something that we're doing our whole life long and we always continue to improve, but there's something maybe a little bit more rich than that. Spiritual habit we landed on because we feel like we do want it to be as consistent as possible, because the more consistently we're engaged with the God who is changing us and making us more like him, then the better off we're going to be. We say in Scripture, we say in the book, that a spiritual habit is us paying attention and responding to the God who is already working in us. So we respond, we pay attention to what God is doing, and we respond to him. And that really comes off the fact that we believe that God is actually the one who starts our relationship with him, and he's actually the one that is active in our lives and is going to finish the work in us. And so our response is not to create something new. Our response is not to perform and earn the love of God, but our response is to pay attention to what he is doing and to respond to that and join him in the work that he is already doing.
That's a really great framework and a really great way to put it, because the flip side of this, of being spiritually disciplined, is wandering into that legalism territory. And honestly, sometimes that can bring some pride with it, you know, because I remember very early in my Christian life, I would think, okay, I've got to read my Bible every day. I've got to pray and confess every single sin that I ever had today. And, you know, I've got to be good. And, you know, you've got all of these disciplines. And then I would fail. And I think, okay, I'm going to start over tomorrow. And then you start to feel like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. And then the Lord has a way of humbling you. I know. I have had experienced that myself. Well, we're coming up on a break here, but when we come back, I want to dive into some of the specifics of how you've made this so easy. You talk about in the book, 6 small steps. Make it easy. Make it tangible. Pick a place. Choose your timing. Make it playful, which I really love, and we'll talk about more. And find your friends. Now, if you're wanting to get your copy of this, again, it's called Building Spiritual Habits in the Home, Small Steps You Can Take Today by Chris Pappalardo and Clayton Green. We'll be back with more on how you can take these steps to start changing your life today. And who knows, maybe you'll be looking back in January of 2026 and say, look how far the Lord has brought me. Look at the work he's finished. We'll be right back talking more about adopting healthy habits as a family. See you on the other side of this break. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Run to the Father. Welcome back, friends. That's Run to the Father by Cody Carnes. And is that a message that you need today? What are you facing that is difficult, that's got you discouraged, that's got you down already? I saw on social media a couple of days ago, I've had the 14-day trial of 2025 and I'd like a refund. I'd like to cancel my trial subscription. It's not going so well. If that is you, God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Run to Him. Run to the Father again and again and again, because His mercies are new every single morning and in the afternoon, because here we are talking to you about God's mercies. Now, if you want to share God's mercy with someone else, American Family Radio is running a opportunity for you to give an ultrasound, a free ultrasound, to an expectant mother who is trying to save the life of her baby. So we would really love for you to call in and to give a gift of $28. It provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving her the opportunity to choose life for her baby. You can call in at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. We're trying to sponsor 4,500 ultrasounds this week. And so we would love to have your participation in that. We'd also love for you to continue listening in. We're having a great conversation with the authors of a new book called Building Spiritual Habits in the Home, Small Steps You Can Take Today. It's Chris Pappalardo and Clayton Green. They're buddies. They are writers together, and they're telling us how we can make simple changes in our life to adopt spiritual habits that will change our relationships, that will change our outlook, that will really give new life into our family. And so welcome back, guys. So glad to have you. And Chris, let's just dive right in. When you talk about spiritual habits in the home, you say that it should be easy, not just easy, but literally ridiculously easy. And so what do you mean by that? That's this the first of the 6 small steps that we take is making it easy. What does that mean?
Yeah, So this comes from two different directions. One, on the pragmatic side, we're talking about habits here. And as you know, you talk about habits all the time. What we want is to get to this spot where what we're doing is so ingrained that you're not even thinking about it. But starting new habits or quitting old ones takes so much mental effort that we don't usually realize. And we tend to start new habits with way too much, too high a goal. And so the first thing to do that the social science tells us is to like just ratchet all of that down to the smallest possible goal you could even imagine. So if you're trying to work out, don't tell yourself that you're going to go to the gym 5 times a week. That's like, maybe you'll get there one day. It's too high a bar. Set yourself a bar of like driving there twice mm-hmm. this week. And that sounds like embarrassingly easy. But if you do that, you can build on it. Whereas if you don't hit the first goal you set, you feel like a failure, you wash out, and you're done. So that's the pragmatic side. On the other side, I'm just naive enough to take Jesus at his word where he says in Matthew 11 that he's coming to provide an easy yoke and a burden that's light. So I'm not the first one to say that Christianity can be easy. I'm following Jesus's lead on that. Now, I recognize sometimes it's kind of crazy because there's a lot that we can do in the Christian life. And at first blush, it doesn't seem easy. But if he said it can be easy, then I want to look around at what I'm building in my life and say, have I made this harder than it needs to be? How can I make these things easier so that anybody can begin taking a few steps down this path of discipleship?
You're absolutely right. And when we set goals so high, there's something psychological about it when we fail and we just give up. That's why most Americans yep. give up on their New Year's resolutions, you know, by day three. And a lot of people are just giving up on even making them. But if we make it really small, we can look back and see that small progress. And, you know, just like you were saying, Chris, about God, Jesus saying his yoke is easy, his burden is light. I also know that he tells us it takes the faith of a mustard seed. And so just something so small that we can put forward in good intention, God is the one that makes that grow. So what do you have to add to that, Clayton? How have you found making spiritual habits easy?
Well, I mean, the reason that we think that's really important is because we, like what Chris said, we want more people engaged in spiritual habits, not only a few. I've heard Chris say it a couple of different times. We'd rather a whole church memorize one verse of Romans than one person memorize the entire book of Romans, which if you memorize the entire book of Romans, like, you know, great job. We're very excited that you did that, and that sure is going to be very beneficial for you. But we're kind of proponents of lowering the bar, right? But us lowering the bar of getting people engaged in spiritual habits is not because we think the bar should be low. It's because we think what's on the other side of the bar is so impactful and meaningful. The first chapter of the book, we write 5 things about God and what that means for our spiritual habits. And in that, it is that God starts in our lives. God wants to be with you. We can't see him, but he really is there. He prefers to work slowly, and that God is gracious. There are so many good things about God. He might work slowly in our life, even if we're doing small spiritual habits, but he works powerfully in our life, and it is certain that he is going to finish that work in our life. And if we're that confident in God, we can lower the bar because we know if we get close to him, he's going to do something powerful.
Well, you said something important there, Clayton, because God is so gracious. He's a good father who loves to give good gifts, and every good gift comes down from the Father of Lights. And I think about a practical example in my own life. One of the habits that I have is praying over my kids before they go to sleep. I was already in the habit of saying goodnight to them, but it was really easy, honestly, just to say, you know what, I'm just going to say a little prayer. Now, some nights that's 1 or 2 sentences. Some nights that is a sermon. You know, I'm feeling like the Holy Spirit welling up in me. And maybe they fall asleep before I'm done. And that's okay too. You know, that's a free parenting tip right there. If your kids won't go to sleep, just tell them, I'm going to pray for you, and start praying very slowly and very calmly. They'll fall asleep. Like, that's just free advice right here. But Chris, what are other ways that we can make these habits tangible? That's the second step.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier how our kids are going to keep us accountable to whatever these habits are. They'll do what we do more than they'll do what we say. And this was a surprise to me and Clayton. One of the biggest ways that our kids keep us accountable to spiritual habits is by having a physical object that they can carry up to us and say, hey, Dad, can we do the thing? and they're holding it and handing it to me because it has reminded them. So this is the key to what made Advent blocks work, is this beautiful set of blocks in the home, and they could see them and they could see the number, and it would bother them that it was December 9th and the block was still sitting on the number 8. And they were like, no, we got to do the thing. Dad, we got to do the thing. It's on 8. Bring it to the 9. And what I love about that is the obstacle there was not patently spiritual. Like all of us were like, you know what? We don't believe in God today. It was just a very functional thing. And we needed a physical thing to remind us. And the more we've been in this, the more we've recognized, gosh, we are such embodied physical creatures that the more we can have tangible, literal stuff that you can pick up around you, the better it is for us to trip over these things and remind ourselves of the things that we already know to be true. If you give us a test, we get the right answer. But gosh, aren't we just so distracted and glued to our phones and somewhere else? So the tangible thing helps us bring us back to present so we can give God the opportunity to meet us in that space.
I agree. And when I pray for my kids, I started this habit. I put my hand on their forehead when I pray. And that is a tangible reminder. And so now, you know, they don't say, yeah, are you going to come tell me goodnight? They say, are you going to come pray for me? Okay, you got to put your hand on my head, you know, because that's just a little habit that we started. But consistency is really magic for kids. It is so good. It helps them to emotionally regulate. It helps them to psychologically process. It's really good. So it's not about like having a very strict schedule, but just those rhythms that have tangible moments. So Clayton, how do you adopt this step of making it tangible in your own home?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a gratitude sitting on our dining table, and every night my daughter, Kara, she picks it up and she says, we need to roll this. A gratitude is a conversation starter, but it's a conversation starter that helps prompt our family to think about what God is doing in our lives and to be thankful to him for that. You know, we do this type of thing for other habits as well. You know, I put my tennis shoes at the edge of my closet so that I put those on in the morning so that I'm a little bit more active in the day, right? That's something that you would find in one of these habit books. But we think that you can also apply these things to our spiritual lives as well. In my daughter's room, I actually have a pad that I've put on the floor. It's very small. It looks like a decoration at the edge of their bed. And it cues me every night to kneel there so that I'm actually getting down on the level. I'm very close to them. It creates a meaningful moment for me to speak things to them, but also creates an opportunity for us to pray where I'm actually in a posture of submission to God, which again, they're observing all of these things, not just doing and going through the steps with us. They're actually seeing those things as well. So it's things like that that actually help cue us. I one other thing, I'm actually sitting here, I'm looking at my phone, and I have a sticker on the back of my phone that it's a rough sticker. And the sticker says, God of heaven, allow me to rest in you. And when my hand touches that, it actually grabs my attention. You know, Chris, in the book, we call them spiritual speed bumps. And that sticker feels a little bit like a speed bump that, again, like we said about spiritual habits, it is helping me pay attention to God and what he's doing and to respond to him. And so as much as we can interrupt ourselves and remind ourselves of the spiritual, the better we think that it is.
That is so good, because living at the speed of a smartphone, we do need speed bumps in our day. We do need reminders to slow down. And as society just speeds up, and even I look at social media algorithms and how it's training us and our kids to ingest information. And we only have about a 20 to 30 second attention span, which is really contrary to a lot of spiritual disciplines. And so those tangible reminders are really, really good. And I've got to say, as a nurse, as a mom, just picturing you as a dad kneeling by your daughter's bed, praying over her, what a beautiful gift to give to your kids. I mean, they don't want the presents that are under the tree as much as they want that visual, tangible reminder and expression of your love for her. Like, oh, that I think every dad should do that. I think that's so great.
Well, and now I'm going to start putting my hand on her head too. I think that's going to be a good addition.
It really is. It's just that little tangible connection. Like, I am putting this prayer straight into your brain. You know, it's going right there. I love it. Love it. Love it. And you know, you also talked about gratitude. I love the gratitude. That is such a great thing. And gratitude is one of the habits that we cover in our 52 healthy habits. And it has so many health benefits that we actually call it vitamin G, because it really it strengthens your heart, it strengthens your mind, it strengthens your brain, your blood vessels. So good. So love that and give a shout out to that. Well, Chris, let's talk about the next step, which we talk about make it easy, make it tangible. And the next step is picking a place. What is that all about?
Yeah, this travels a little bit further down the road of just very functional. Again, the social scientists say a lot about this, that we may be up in our heads thinking that we're not particularly spiritual people because we're distracted, say, for instance, while we're praying. But it's entirely possible that the environment around us, not just possible, but it's definite that the environment around us is cueing our minds to think and operate in certain ways. One author says that we are the victims of our environment, but if we are smart enough, we can also be the architects of our environment. So the goal here is to recognize that the space around us is making us think in certain ways, feel certain ways, make certain things feel more possible, other things feel more difficult. Just as a super obvious example, if you're sitting in a room with a giant television, you can carry on a conversation with another person, but it's harder because there's this dominating force in the room that's kind of beckoning you to do the TV thing. And so if you want a space to interact and really like go deep with people, it's probably best to not have a television around. The same would be true if you want to go deep with God. And, you know, a place for prayer ought to be a place that is difficult to be distracted in, which means, you know, not just screen free, but soothing, calming, comfortable, a beautiful place you want to be. I think a lot of us know, we spend a lot of time crafting our environments because we want them to be aesthetically pleasing. We want them to look a certain way. But it surprises me how few people think, well, how could I arrange this environment to cue me to think about God more often? But it's a tough question to answer, but I think it is one of the more vital ones if we're going to be more consistent in this and eliminate distractions.
That is absolutely true. You know, I have a prayer chair in my room. It's an old rocking chair that's from my granny's house. And that's my prayer chair. That's where I go and sit to pray because it's just a tangible reminder. I think of her faith. I think about just the ways that she was so faithful through so much adversity. And it's a place that I can be. I think what you're saying about being distracted is really important. And actually, in my sphere, in pediatrics, we're studying a phenomenon called phubbing. That's phubbing. It's a combination of two words. It's phone snubbing. And some of the research shows that just the mere presence of a physical phone in a conversation at a dinner table, it causes anxiety in the person who's trying to speak. It makes them feel less respectful towards the person they're talking to, whether that's your parent or whatever. It can cause increased gastrointestinal problems because it gives you indigestion because you're just worried thinking, is that person going to be distracted by the phone? And I think one of the best things that we can do for our families is to make a habit of listening with our face. And if you are in the habit of listening with your face in a screen, I'm telling you, give your kids the freedom to hold you accountable and they will do it. They will. My kids will tell me, Mom, you are fubbing me. You need to put your phone down and listen with your face. And they say it respectfully, but I do that. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the other three steps, choosing your timing, making it playful, and finding your friends. And I'm also going to ask Chris and Clayton how this book has changed their own spiritual habits and what it's been like with their friends and family. So don't go away. We'll be back with more on building spiritual habits in the home with Chris Pappalardo and Clayton Green. See you on the other side of this break.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
And I sang in Christ alone, my solid ground. Oh, amazing grace, just how sweet the sound. On that rugged cross, Jesus paid it all. Because he lives, this is my song.
Welcome back, friends. That is This Is My Song by North Point Worship with Mac Powell. And this is our song today. We are praising our Savior all day long, even right here in the afternoon. And listen, we would love to have you call in and sponsor an ultrasound. American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn this week. We'll have a whole show dedicated to Preborn tomorrow and talking about the issue of life. But if you would like to donate an ultrasound for a woman who is seeking an abortion, you can do that with a gift of $28. $140 provides 5 free ultrasounds, and our goal this week is to reach 4,500. The goal of that, save 4,500 babies. You can call in at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. And giving is a great healthy habit to have as a family. And we're talking about adopting healthy habits as a family. I'm talking to friends, buddies, Chris Pappalardo and Clayton Green, who have written the book, Building Spiritual Habits in the Home. They have 6 small steps that you can do to change the habits in your life. We've talked about making it easy. We've talked about making it tangible. We've talked about picking a place. And Clayton, we're going to pick up with choosing your timing. Timing is everything. And how does that relate to us building healthy habits in our life?
Yeah, well, we've already talked about this a couple of times, right? Where timing, you know, how rushed we are in our day and age, it's pretty wild. But, you know, God created evening and morning. If you go back and read creation story, he created evening and morning. But we actually created the hours. We created the minutes. We created the seconds to try to do as much as we can and pack as much as we can in there. And so we think that we actually can learn from that. And actually, Daniel Pink, in his book, When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, agrees that doing things in the morning and the evening is actually much better, because you kind of have this spike of energy in the day, where in the morning you have this great rush of energy and you feel like, you know, there's all these possibilities. And then the afternoon, the Spaniards all take a nap and the rest of us drink a second coffee maybe. And then here comes the peak of energy in the evening again. It's actually like Daniel Pink has been seeing what God actually already kind of created us for. And we think that you can learn from that. So if you're reading your Bible and at a particular time of day and it's kind of difficult for you to get into it, it feels a little bit sluggish, it might not be you. It might be the time. It might just be a trough in your energy in the day. And if you shift it before it, or you shift it back a couple of hours, it might become a lot easier. You might become a lot more consistent with that spiritual habit. And that can apply to prayer and to a number of other things that you would do as a spiritual habit.
That's so true, because I think about myself and my husband. I am the night owl. He is the morning person. He knows we shouldn't have any serious conversations, because I might be a little grumpy in the morning and he's going to fall asleep, you know, before 9 o'clock comes around. But that works out great, by the way, when you're parenting teenagers, because one of them is happy to get up early and the other is happy to wait when they come home late. So God is good in that, in timing. And so, Chris, what have you learned about choosing your timing and your habits?
Yeah, the same thing that applies over the course of the day, you can look at over the course of seasons. There are all sorts of rhythms that God gives us in Scripture. The biggest one is the Sabbath, this weekly rhythm of working for 6 days and then resting on the seventh. But there's actually bigger ones throughout the Bible, like Jubilee years, and, you know, it's a kind of a Sabbath of Sabbaths, and all these feasts and festivals, which indicate to me that there is a rhythm to our year that makes for better or worse times to start spiritual habits and to continue them. Now, again, Daniel Pink calls these temporal landmarks. So, you know, you'd use a physical landmark to tell somebody how to get to your house. You'd, like, you know, go through 3 lights and turn left. And we have those when it comes to time as well, if we slow down to recognize them. The trouble that a lot of us experience, I definitely felt this, was we felt like if we did something right and it was fruitful for us spiritually once or during a given season, that we have to keep doing that forever. Otherwise, we've let God down somehow. And the seasonality that God gives us, these temporal landmarks of the year, indicate that it's okay. This is something I do now that I've learned. Every 3 months, every 6 months, to change up a little bit of what you're doing, because there's novelty to the seasons God gives us, and there can be some novelty to the way that you engage with them. Here's what I mean. It's a good thing to interact with God's word. That should never change. But if you decide that you're going to read exactly three chapters of the Bible every day from now until forever, you may find yourself getting tired of it. And I don't think it's because the Bible gets boring. I think it's because the exact same way of reading it over and over again can wear you down. So what I do is I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to read this one book of the Bible super slow for a couple months. Just sit in it. Then I'll come and then I'll read quickly through a few. And then maybe a few months later, I'll focus more on Bible memory. All that is, let me get in the Word. But it's changing season to season, which is just enough to keep it fresh, like rotating a workout routine or something like that, that we don't get as tired of it and we have fresh bursts of energy throughout the year.
I think that's such a fresh perspective, because sometimes we do think when we get in the habit, it has to be the same way, the same time, at the same place. And I was just actually talking to a professor in the seminary, and he was talking about a spiritual disciplines course that he teaches, and said that they teach a wide range of spiritual disciplines. And then he looked me right in the eyes and said, yeah, I don't do all of them. In fact, I don't do most of them, but there are times and seasons. He told me that. And he said, and when we're teaching these ministers, they can then counsel their parishioners and saying that, hey, if this isn't working for you right now, if this is just feeling, you know, like a dreary, like a drudge here, then here's something else that you can try for a new season. And that was something, now this has come up twice now. So I feel like that is a message from the Lord. And, you know, honestly, Chris, when we talk about spiritual habits, spiritual discipline, I mean, those are not words that are very attractive that people are all like, oh yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. I really want to work on spiritual discipline. That's at the top of my list. But I think one of the really compelling parts of your book is you have a whole chapter and a whole step here on making it playful. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this started for us with the sheer fact that we are trying to do this with our kids. And I mean, you can, I guess, in theory, you can browbeat your children into doing what you think they ought to do. But I mean, that'll get old in a hurry. They'll resent it. You won't enjoy it. And so the challenge for us is, okay, how do we keep these kids engaged in a story of God, which I think is tremendously powerful, but is going to be tough for them to track with? And so you learn pretty quickly, I've got to boil this down to make it very, very simple and concrete. And I have to entertain the odd questions that they might ask about this passage, because if they don't get the answer to that question, wait, did Jonah really go in the fish's belly? Like, mm-hmm. They're not going to hear anything else about the story because they really want to know. But the next level we realize is that in the discipline of trying to make this stuff simpler so our kids can understand it, entertaining whatever questions they had, they were teaching us a kind of a level of simplicity and humility that is actually really valuable, not just for kids, but for all of us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children because of their humility, because of the simplicity with which they believe God. And so when we make spiritual habits playful, even if it's just for our kids, we're doing something to tap into this simplicity and humility that Jesus wants for all of us, because that's the narrow door that gets us into the kingdom of God.
It's so true. And that's where we bond together. You know, they say laughter is the best medicine, but I do believe that it can heal relationships, and it creates feelings of togetherness and closeness, and it's just a sense of joy, a sense of calm. And Clayton, how have you implemented making it your habits playful? How have you made them playful in your family?
Well, I mean, I think it's always smart to, anytime you are doing as an adult a spiritual habit, that you think about how you would invite your kids in particular into it and how it might change and be ready to do that. That doesn't mean that you have to do it playfully every time, but you at least want to be ready for it. But then also, I mean, things like singing the truth about God. I mean, you know, worship songs can be very serious, but there's a lot of fantastic kids worship songs with hand motions. And I think they get kind of into your brain and into your heart in a very different way. So we sing and we dance and we run around. And then I think that play in and of itself is like a spiritual practice, if not a spiritual practice in and of itself. I mean, when Jesus talks about let the children come to me, he's saying the reason that they're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is because of their humility. And actually, it takes a lot of humility and vulnerability to just play with people and actually, you know, let your guard down, think less of yourself, think more of them, be a little bit silly. And if you pair what Jesus is saying about humility in Scripture and you tie that to play, actually you see that play in general, like you said earlier with vitamin G, playfulness fosters empathy. It fosters memory. It fosters connection. It fosters resilience and self-control. It fosters humility and vulnerability. So it has this incredibly spiritual and virtuous cycle that even just playing with your kids or being playful with each other can be a very positive thing and meaningful.
I completely agree with that. And I don't think we put it all on the kids. I think adults like to have fun too. Look at all of the industries that are making so much money off of adults playing games. I mean, they like to be playful. That's in our nature. So I'm thinking, yeah, maybe your kids would like to roll the Graticube at dinner, but hey, maybe an 80-year-old married couple would like to do that too, you know, at dinner time, rather than saying, okay, dear, what are you thankful for today? There's room in that for creative expression, which is one of the things I love about the way that God created us. Well, if you've been listening and paying attention, we've talked about 5 of the 6 small steps to integrate these habits into your life. And we talked about making it easy, making it tangible, picking a place, choosing your timing, making it playful. The last step is finding your friends, but I'm going to leave that for you. If you want to know more about those habits, go get your copy of the book, because Clayton and Chris, I want to ask both of you. I'll start with you, Clayton. What is a time, tell us about a mistake that you have made or a course correction in your own spiritual life when it didn't go right? Because so often we think, oh, they wrote a book, they've got it all together. But what's a time, I know when people write books, it's because you've messed up. So I want to know about that time that you've messed up, Clayton. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I mean, the course correction that comes to my mind immediately is with fasting. Chris and I, this past year, it's not a product that we've listed on Good Kind. I think we might have mentioned it in the book one time, but we worked with each other and we would fast on the same day. We would break fast at the same time, though not in the same place. But we kind of approached a point in the year where in some ways it was not exactly like what I needed to be doing for my personal health. And so it wasn't necessarily like I didn't consider it a failure, but it was definitely something that I needed to stop. It was a spiritual practice that I needed to change course on, to have a course correction. And I felt guilty about it to start with. I probably knew this in my mind for a couple of weeks before I actually came to Chris and said it to him. And so I think that, again, that's the find my friends piece, is having somebody that you're doing this with that you can trust and have these conversations with can be very helpful. But I also think hopefully the book as a whole doesn't hold us out as people who are doing it right the first time, but hopefully it's teaching people how when they need to make tweaks and changes to what they're doing, that they can make those course corrections. Because failure, the habit scientists will say, is just feedback. And so I think that course correction came from some feedback. I would have historically thought it was more of a failure, but I actually think that it was a very positive situation to make that shift. And we'll pick it back up again in the future.
Yeah, I did that too. And trying to put in family dinners, trying to have that habit, I thought like it had to be perfect. And I had this little book of manners, which is infamous in my family. My kids will pull out that, they're like, remember the book of manners that mom tried to force on us at dinner time, you know, where I had this perfect dinner. It was terrible. It ended in fights. It ended in conflict. Nobody wanted to do it. And I realized, ooh, it's not about that. We needed some simplicity. We need peanut butter and jelly standing around the islands, just saying, what are the highs and lows? lows and where did you go and tell me about your days. Like, that's about all that we needed, because that pressure created a failure. And Chris, we're just about out of time, but if you have about a minute or so, I'd love to hear your last words.
Yeah. I just would want to encourage everybody, whether you get the book or not, we wrote this. We are experiencing the ups and downs of the Christian life, and there's such an abundance of grace here that we all believe in, but we functionally fail to tap into. It was Martin Luther who said that to move forward in the Christian life is always to begin again. And I think that if we can approach our spiritual habits with that attitude, that every morning God is inviting us, saying, "Hey, did you fall down yesterday? I'm here. Let's pick up. Let's take that next step." Rather than holding up a scorecard and ticking off where we did well and where we did poorly, that invitation that's fresh every day, that's what permeates this book, and that's my hope for all of your listeners and anyone who interacts with the book.
That's a great word. The book is Building Spiritual Habits in the Home, Small Steps You Can Take Today by Chris Pappalardo and Clayton Green. You can make your place be a, your home be a blessing, a refuge, and a place of vibrant faith. And listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.